Welcome to the Birmingham Vineyard podcast. We hope you find it insightful and encouraging.
If you want to find out more about us, head to our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's nice to see you. If you can draw those conversations to a close. If I've not had the privilege of meeting you, my name is Andrew, and with my wife, Rosie, we have the privilege of leading at Birmingham Vineyard, and we're delighted to be here with Jeff and Becky, who are the site pastors in this space. If you have a Bible with you, can you take your Bible and turn to Psalm 66? If you haven't got a Bible, two options. We can either give you one at the end of the service, or if you've got your phones, you can download the Bible app, which would be really helpful. So we're looking at Psalm 66, God in every season. We're in a series looking through the Psalms because we believe that every bit in the Bible is inspired by God and it's useful for us in our journey of faith. And so we try and take some time to slow the pace down, look at the words of the Bible and see how God might be getting our attention and speaking to our hearts as we do that. So if you're new to this whole journey of faith, our confidence is that when we come to God's word, God can be communicating his truth, his love, his interest into our hearts as well. So we're going to be looking at Psalm 66 together, and I want to read a verse that really captures the heart of this psalm, the invitation that's there for us. It's verse 8, and it goes like this. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. Two things that we see here as we start things off, two big themes that God is opening us for us, that God is to be praised and God is to be trusted in all of life. I'm going to pray as we start and invite the Lord to be present with us. Is that okay? Brilliant stuff. Father, thank you that you see every one of us. You know our stories and you're deeply interested in us. And I pray that as we pay attention to your word today, that it would be alive to us in this moment, that you'd be present, that you'd be moving, that you'd be coming towards our lives in kindness, in life-giving, authentic and powerful ways. We pray that we would hear you, we'd meet with you, and we'll be strengthened by you this morning. We welcome your presence. Amen. Amen. Good stuff. God's to be praised. God's to be trusted. We're going to take some time to do something a bit different this morning as well as we go through this psalm. Has anybody noticed a particular word that you might see? Maybe in your Bible, in verse 4 or verse 7, there's a little word that crops up there. Anybody spotted it? It might not be written out, but it might be in a number of the Bibles. It's a little word called Selah. It's sometimes got a little note there or a little kind of a little sort of way of indicating it. That word Selah appears 71 times in 39 of the Psalms. Now, scholars aren't exactly sure what it means, but most people believe that it means pause and praise. Some Bible translations actually include this phrase interlude as a break between different sections of the Psalms. So when it was read out loud and the Psalms were read, they would pause at that point and just create a bit of space to reflect on what's been said. In fact, the Amplified Bible actually puts it this way. It says, pause and calmly think about that. That's quite directive. Pause and calmly think about that every time that word Selah appears. So today, we're going to do that. We're going to shake it up a little bit and we're going to take the different sections and at three points, we're going to pause and calmly think about that so that we can learn to listen to God for ourselves. But also in this moment, rather than just hearing a talk, we make some space in the midst of it to bring our hearts, our lives to God and have space for prayer. So the first thing is we see that God is to be praised. The first seven verses in this psalm, this is an invitation to us to live a life of praise as well. The timeline is the psalmist is looking back over a long period of time at the past to get some strength in the present. It goes like this, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. The message says they slink off like scalded dogs. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praise of your name. Come and see what God has done. His awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. In our lives, sometimes we need to take the long range perspective. It's as if we're driving, we need to glance in the rearview mirror to see where we've come from. Do you know, this psalm, we're not quite sure the context for it. Quite a few of the psalms have a backstory. The possibility might be that Hezekiah, one of the kings, is celebrating God's deliverance after an attacking army, 2 Kings 18. That's a strong possibility. Or maybe it's a psalm of David when he's actually been delivered. We're not 100% sure if there's a specific story linked to this. But for sure, this opening part of the psalm points back. We read in verse 6, he turned the sea into dry land, they passed through the waters on foot. This is clearly a reference for the people to the story of God's deliverance. This is a reference in the Old Testament to the point when God delivered people from oppression, from 430 years of oppression, and led them into freedom by parting the Red Sea and bringing them into the promised land. Now just imagine if you and your people had been oppressed for 430 years. It's the year 2024, and your people have been oppressed since 1594. And suddenly this year, you got free. I imagine if that was your story. Since 1594, you've been oppressed, and 2024 is the year of freedom. That would be a cause for a party, wouldn't it? That would be a story to tell your kids and your grandkids and your great grandkids. And that's exactly what they did. They recalled this story. That it was told and retold. They recalled and they remembered. And that's what this psalmist is doing. That story of the Exodus was the defining moment for the people of Israel. It was the moment when they knew for sure that God was their deliverer. Amazing as that story was, it was just a spoiler for the main event. The ultimate story of Jesus, the ultimate story of deliverance was expressed in Jesus. Through his death, through his resurrection, he defeated not just one political enemy in one point in history, but he broke down every barrier between God and man forever. So in our trials and in our times of heartache, we're to recall and remember, just like this psalm's inviting us to recall and remember the victory of God. Now this psalm shows us a pattern for worship. We look back together, we remember. We call to mind the big themes of our shared story, those moments where God has broken in. And we can all celebrate and share together. This is a collective moment. This is our story, not simply my story and what's happening in my life right now. That's why when Jesus was with his disciples and he broke bread with them and he was showing them this communion meal, he said, do this in remembrance of me. So we're going to do that in a few minutes. We're going to take the invitation from this psalm to have a long-range view and look back and remember again the goodness of God expressed in Jesus. Now you might be thinking, do you know what? There's not a lot in my story right now that I can praise for. Well, every one of us in any season of life can look back to the cross, to the point when Jesus laid down his life for us. That is our shared story, even if my current story is a bit frustrating. It's a helpful recalibration moment for us in times of trial. So how do we praise God in any season of life, good, bad, or indifferent? I think this psalm shows us 4 ways, and we can see them here. Verse 1, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. This is a call to worship. Over the psalms, we see invitations to shout to the Lord. Not much shouting this morning. A few of the kids were quite rowdy, but not much shouting in the room. You know, the Bible's clear that joy needs to be expressed. If there's so much joy in your heart, why don't you let your face know about it once in a while? Somebody once said that. A bit cheeky, but do you know, a bit later this afternoon, if you're a Wimbledon fan or a football fan, there's going to be some moments where there'll be some joy expressed, hopefully. Wouldn't that be nice if there's some joy expressed? It's coming home, maybe. But you know, joy needs to be expressed and actually let it be seen and be visible. And we're known and loved by our Father. So that's a reason for rejoicing when we gather. So the shout is the first invitation. Shout joyfully to the Lord. Second thing is sing. Sing about the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. All the earth will worship you and sing praise to you. They will sing praise to your name. This is often, when we get together, quite a familiar space for us. This is how we worship. Now we join together with the song that someone else has carefully written, and the invitation is to come to those moments as if we're the one who crafted those words ourselves. You know, I want to own those words of that song and let it be my song to God. Now, you might not be a great singer. Maybe you don't feel like you're a great singer. That is okay. I want to free you up. Do what Psalm 100 says and just make a joyful noise to the Lord. Is that all right? You can all do that for sure. Did you know There are loads of benefits to collectives. Anybody in a community choir here, apart from coming to church on Sunday? A couple of you are. There are loads of benefits to collective singing. So you've done yourself a really smart thing by gathering and singing today. Jacques Lunet, who's a researcher at Oxford University, identified 13 benefits of collective singing. The range goes from it improves our physical health, it improves our breathing and posture, it improves our mental health and well-being. Isn't that interesting? So when you come to church, you gather, you sing, you're doing yourself some good as well as bringing praise to God. But researchers found this interesting thing out, that when choirs or congregations like this wonderful assembled choir this morning, when we synchronize our voices, we also synchronize our heartbeats. Did you know that? Our heartbeats literally align in the room. So when we worship, we come with one song, but also with one heart to worship. What happens when you sing? Your breathing regulates, you sing the same tune together, then your heartbeat comes in sync. Isn't that bizarre? I love it then. It makes sense of a little bit in the Bible. Look at how this is expressed in the Amplified version of Romans 15. Now may the God who supplies encouragement grant you to live in such mutual harmony that together you may with united hearts and one voice praise and glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Quirky fact for the morning, hey? Next thing, we shout, we sing, and then we say to God, verse 3, say to God, how inspiring are your works. I encourage you when you gather to church, speak out your own praise. Find your voice. Use your own words, not just the words borrowed by somebody else because they've written a song. Jim, in a worship time here on a Sunday, there'll be space between the songs just to put voice to the thing that you want to say to God. You're not relying on somebody else's script or words, but you're saying something of praise. You can speak out your own praise to God. When the song finishes, your praise can continue. You can speak praise to God. Every Monday morning, we gather as a team, as a staff team, and we gather first thing to pray. And one of the things we do every time is we stop and we reflect and we say, hey, what are some of the things we're thankful for? We give voice, we speak out the good things that God has been doing. We swap stories. We share what God has been up to, answered prayers. It's wonderful. I encourage you, when you meet in your small group, when you get together in the week with other believers, celebrate how God's at work in your life. Share stories of answered prayer, or share stories of how God has strengthened you and sustained you in trial. Speak out your praise. Next thing we see, fourth thing here, it says this, call others. It says, come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. This is another dimension of our praise to God, is when we actually speak to others. God is glorified when we invite others to see and meet him for themselves. Look at that phrase there in that verse 5, come and see. When I read that, it just reminded me of a conversation in the New Testament. The exact phrase, come and see, rocks up in the first chapter of John. Philip, one of the early disciples, has met Jesus and he wants to tell his friend. That's the instinct of his heart. He says to Nathanael, come and see. Come and see for yourself, Nathanael. Now, you might not be great at explaining the big mysteries of faith, but we can all get better at inviting. Rosie was in Costa this week with a friend having a coffee and she just could see a lady next to her who was there with a new baby was just a bit agitated and not quite at rest. And she just turned and said, hey, how are you doing today? It looks like you're having a bit of a tough day. And the lady just poured out her heart and said, I've just moved to Birmingham, don't know a soul and I'm just trying to settle and I've got two kids. And just she just, one of those moments where a little bit of interest and it just gives people permission to be real. And they had this great little chat and it was the most natural thing for Rosie and Joe just to say, listen, thanks for sharing your story. Can we help you settle? Can we help you do anything in terms of landing in Birmingham? And Rosie and Joe just said, can we just pray for peace on your day and peace on your time in Birmingham? They prayed and this lady said, oh, do you know, it's funny. I don't have a faith, but I just went into church like 3 days ago because I just thought I need to just kind of connect somehow with something to help me through my big change. It's like, wow. So it was the easiest thing just to show a little bit of interest. And then the kindest thing was to say, can I pray for some peace for you right now? And then the next thing was, listen, we're a community. We meet every week. We're just learning to follow Jesus. You might like to come along. She said, I'd love that. Come and see. Student Worldview survey that came out last year said that 74% of students, if invited by a friend, if they were not a Christian, invited by a friend, would love to come to church. The general answer in the whole population is about over 60% of the population. The Simply Jesus research found this. Over 60% of the population, if invited by a friend who was a Christian to come to church, would come. People are more spiritually open than you might imagine. We've got Alpha starting in September. There's opportunities always to bring friends along to church who are just exploring. God is to be praised. That's what this first chunk of the psalm looks at. And we're going to take a moment to pause now. We're going to do that pause, that Selah, bit of space. There's going to be some background music on in a moment. And I want to give us three options. So this is like not the end of the talk. It's not been like sort of compressed, but there's a bit of a moment to pause. And three things. We're going to bring some communion to the ends of tables. You have the option to either take communion as you look back and remember. You come to this moment with thanks. You come to this moment with thanks, or you might want to just simply have your Bible open at Psalm 66 and just take a few minutes just to reflect on some of the themes that are in there. Well, the third thing you might want to do is just in the stillness. It's not a chance for a chat with your neighbour, but just glance at some of the questions on screen, and maybe one of those questions will help you in this moment as we simply do what the Bible's saying. Pause and think deeply about what you've heard so far. Psalm 66. The chance to take communion, or even look at those questions on screen and see if there's anything you want to express to God in this moment. And I'll pull us back in a couple of minutes. We'll make more space as we go through our morning. First thing is God's to be praised. Second thing we see is that God is to be trusted, past to present. The timeline in this psalm brings it to the moment that we're in now. The psalmist is thanking God that although they've been through tough times, he's brought them now to a place of safety, even, I dare to say, a place of abundance in the midst of their trial. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He's preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. The title of our series is God in Every Season. What season are you in? Can you be honest with yourself, honest with God this morning? What season are you in? Are you in an autumn season or a winter season? In a season of trial or testing, of despair and darkness? Many of the Psalms address those realities. This one is no exception. In this psalm, we find a different perspective on affliction. We find the psalmist helping God's people connect with God in that place. They acknowledged the troubles and the hardship, but they were also recognizing that God was repurposing those to teach them and to train them. For you tested us, you refined us like silver. If anyone's endured lasting affliction, you know how wearying it is, the tendency to just weep and lament. I know what it's like to be in those seasons. I don't love those moments. I don't love the struggle of refinement, but I know that God can be working and present in every season. Trials are a reality. Jesus said it, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. We sometimes bump into a trial or a season of hardship and we think, my goodness, where's that come from? But the Bible says in 1 Peter, beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery trials that come upon you as though something strange were happening to you. Get used to it, friends. It's part of life, living in a fallen world. What's happening in those trial times? I think they come to test us and refine us. James puts it this way, the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And perseverance can finish its work so that you can be mature and complete. Romans says this, for we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance forms in us character, and then character brings hope. We don't like trials, do we? We don't appreciate the hassles that come with affliction. The University of Arizona were doing some research one time into trees and how they grow. And they had this huge, big biosphere, like a massive greenhouse. And they planted in this biosphere a bunch of trees, and they could control the weather conditions in there. And when the trees grew to a certain height, they would spontaneously just topple over. They just fell over. And the scientists were absolutely baffled. They couldn't work out why they created this perfect environment. These trees grew up, and then at certain points, they just like keeled over and just, you know, just toppled over. It baffled scientists until they realized they'd forgot to include in that biosphere the element of wind. Trees needed the presence of wind to blow against them because the resistance causes their root system to grow deeper, which supports the tree as it grows taller. As it turns out, wind plays a major role in the life of a tree. The presence of wind makes the tree stronger, so it's able to mature and not fall down due to its own weight. Now, we want to control our environments as well, don't we? We want a life without rain and storm and wind. But in the same way, through the pressure of tough times, we can actually meet God in a way that we might not understand in other seasons of life. Trials and heartaches are not great in and of themselves, but God does repurpose and use them. If you missed last week, I really appreciated the honesty that Narek spoke about when he spoke here, about God had helped him through times of severe anxiety and worry. If you'd missed it, catch up online. They ended up, both Narek and Bill, who preached last week, coming to a place of provision, a place of encounter, having everything they needed to get through the trial they were in. You could call that abundance, more than enough to make it through. It sounds a bit crass to speak about abundance in a trial, but that's what we see in this verse. You let people ride over our heads, we went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance, more than enough to make it through. The psalmist is looking back, and that word abundance actually comes from the idea of saturation. My heart drenched with the sense of God is present in this moment. Abundance is not about external circumstances, about lots of material stuff. It's not about being blessed with stuff, but it's more about internal resources. I think that's what was going on for some of the guys in the Bible, like Joseph. He was in prison, and it says, and the Lord showed him his faithful love, and everything he did prospered. He had a heart that was filled with a sense of God is present in this moment, and I've got enough to get me through. I've got an abundance. I think that's what the Bible's hinting at here for us. What's the way through our trials? You know, trials are really tough. We are far more likely to make a dumb life choice in the midst of a trial, hit the self-destruct button, get engaged in a life choice that is a habit or a choice that will damage us. That is far higher for you as a reality in a time of trial, loss, heartache, pressure. There's a vulnerability that comes in those moments. We have to watch ourselves. We can turn towards God or we can turn towards counterfeit gods, quick fixes in attempts to numb our pain. The Bible's saying don't avoid or deny or escape into unhealthy choices, but in that moment, try and bring your heart to the living God who cares. I'd love us to pause again for a moment and just reflect on that next chunk of the psalm. You might want to open it up in your Bible, pause, and just be honest, like, where am I at right now? What season am I in? Is there a particular trial? Am I particularly vulnerable to making a dumb choice? Have I made some dumb choices in the midst of this trial? Can I just recalibrate and come back to God? Is that possibility of abundance enough to make it through? Not just scrape it through, but enough from God that my heart can be saturated with his reassurance that I see you, I'm going to strengthen you. Is that part of what he wants to say to us even today? Let's just take a moment to have our Bibles open, or if you haven't a chance to take communion, you can take communion and sit in the presence of God as we think about what God is opening up through this psalm. Just as we come into land, this last section of the psalm talks about God keeping his promises and then the invitations that we need to as well. The final verse of this psalms just deal with God's answers to the personal prayers of this psalmist. During the midst of his sufferings, he made vows to God and then he has the chance to follow through. Verse 16, come and hear all you who fear God. I'll tell you what God has done for me. I think I've mentioned it before, but one of the most challenging sermons I ever heard was a sermon by a chap called Bill Johnson, 4 or 5 days after his wife had died of cancer. He got up to speak to the church that he loves and leads. And he said, you know, I've got something to give to God in this moment that I'll never get at any other point in my life story. A sacrifice of praise. When I'm in heaven and it's all reconciled, I'll just give a praise out of an abundant, overflowing heart. But right now I've got a gift to give God, a sacrifice of praise in the midst of my pain. Challenging choice of an expression of faith in a tough time. Have you ever prayed a crisis prayer? Maybe you've done that like me. You've prayed a crisis prayer. Lord, just get me through this. If you get me through this, I promise I'll be good all my life and I'll follow you and serve you. Has anybody ever prayed a prayer like that? Crisis prayers. You know, God, if you just answer this one prayer, I promise I'll put you first. I'll trust you. We can make big promises. prayers in a moment of crisis, and that is not unusual. Look at verse 13 to 15. I'll come to your temple with burnt offerings. I will fulfill my vows to you. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I'll sacrifice for animals to you and offerings of rams. I'll offer bulls and goats. We have those moments where we have a crisis. We call out to God and God pulls us through and we can forget it ever happened. The psalmist is saying, hey, follow through, friends. Follow through, because God's followed through for you. Follow through as well. I think God is saying, just live open-handed lives, recognizing that every good thing we have has come from him, and he wants us to freely offer all that we have and all that we are back to him. Let me just finish with the last few verses of this, and I invite the worship team to come forward. They're going to help us respond to God in a time of worship. Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what God has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I cherished sin in my heart, the Lord wouldn't have listened, but God has surely listened. He has heard my prayer. Look at this last verse. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. Whatever season we're in, whatever we find ourselves going through, God doesn't withhold his love from us. There's an opportunity for us to experience the abundance, the saturating, the infilling, that enough to get us through presence and love of God in all of life. Let's just take a moment to stand. I'm going to pray, and the team are going to lead us as we respond to God. Should we stand? Lord, we thank you that these psalms speak to us about life realities that we face. We get echoes of our story in these stories, and we pray that you would meet us even this morning as we come and turn our hearts to you. We say, we sing, we shout, we come in worship, and we bring our real selves to you. We don't try and bring a different version of what's actually going on. We come as we are to you, living God. And we ask you to meet with us. Holy Spirit, as we take these simple songs and we own them as if they're our words, and we use the space between the songs to sort of speak our praise and thanks, we pray that you would move by your Holy Spirit. Particularly, I want to pray blessing for those that are in a trial or in a winter season, that there would be a sense of your saturation. You'd saturate our hearts again with your reassurance that you're with us, that you're for us, that you've not abandoned us, that you'll carry us through, that we might feel like we're failing, but underneath us are the everlasting arms of God. So we turn our hearts to you now and worship. Meet us, Lord. Move in power in our lives. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the talk and found it helpful.
We'd love to welcome you to one of our gatherings. We meet in multiple locations at multiple times on Sundays, as well as in midweek small groups across the city. More information on all of these can be found at our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
Thanks for listening. Have a great day and God bless.